إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, my dear brothers and sisters, with respect to the continuing series on the elements of leadership in Islam and Quran and Sunnah, yesterday we spoke about the importance of, the day before we spoke about the importance of three things: a central ideology, a central authority, and centralized funding. And yesterday I mentioned to you the importance of central ideology. Today I want to talk about the importance of central authority. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu mentioned central authority as His word, as the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the principle which is followed even in the Sharia with regard to extraction of any rulings from anywhere, where the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the first point of reference and which cannot be changed and which cannot be reinterpreted and which cannot be tampered with in any way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always mentioned in the Quran, أَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَتِيُوا الرَّسُولَ, obey Allah and obey the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reason for Atiyu Rasul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. In Surah Al-Najm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, He does not say anything of His own desire. Whatever He says is what has been revealed to Him. So therefore, the authority of the Nabi also relates to back to the Quran. And this is also where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the incident where this lady was brought to him who had committed theft for sentencing, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sentenced her according to the Kitab of Allah, people came to him and they tried to plead with him because she came from a very honorable family and her name coincidentally happened to be Fatima. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even if it had been my Fatima, meaning his daughter, I would have given her the same sentence. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu was the one who was sent to intercede. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got very upset with him and he said, you are trying to tell me to go and rule differently from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ruled, because the hudud are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, even if it had been my own daughter, Fatima, I would have ruled the same thing. And I would not have changed the ruling. Meaning that Rasulullah ﷺ did not place himself and his family outside of the purview of the law. So the central authority in Islam is the Kitab of Allah. It is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are asked to obey the Nabi, because the Nabi speaks the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not Allah and the Nabi as two different entities combined together in a partnership. There is only and only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who is the source of law. Everything derives from the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is ibadah because it is according to the Quran and according to the Kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu said about the Nabi, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ أَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. In Surah Al-Hashr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whatever my Nabi gives you, take it. And whatever he stops you from, stop from it. And that is also why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يُطِيعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهَ. The one who obeys the messenger has obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these things refer to the fact that the source of law, the source of authority, the central authority in Islam is one and one only. And that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. That is the whole purpose of the revelation. And this command has come to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And therefore we obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he tells us to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to do. This is the meaning of centralized authority as far as Islam is concerned. So everything comes back there. And that's the reason why. What is a bid'ah? A bid'ah is something which is not found in the Quran and Sunnah. A bid'ah is something which is an innovation. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kullu bid'atin dalala. He did not say kullu bid'ah except one. He did not say this. Yeah? He said kullu bid'atin dalala. So therefore, all bidat are misguidance, wa kullu dalalatin finnar, and all of the misguidance is in the hellfire. There are no exceptions, and I am not making the rule. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the rule. You hear this hadith in every Jum'ah and every masjid. So the important thing to understand is that centralized authority. Why centralized authority? Because without a centralized authority, you will have all kinds of differences and all kinds of people coming up with different interpretations. You need a point of reference. If somebody has a different interpretation, and it needs to be reconciled, you have to have a central point of reference with which to reconcile it. How do I know if I am right? Because what I am saying is in line with what the Quran says. How do I know if I am wrong? Because my interpretation does not link with the Quran. Along with the centralized source of wisdom, centralized source of rulings and centralized law comes the issue of structure, of the organization, of the global organization we are talking about. In this case, it is the Ummah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That centralized structure, incidentally and interestingly, has to be highly decentralized. A strong structure is not a pyramidal structure in the context of global movements. A strong structure in the context of global movements is a matrix structure. And the reason for that is because if you have a pyramidal structure, then everything then comes and pivots around one individual ruler or one individual person who is in authority. Now obviously that's an extremely shaky foundation because nobody is immortal. People have to die. Long before they die, they lose their energy and so on and so forth. So as you grow old and when you die, the structure will collapse because that charismatic leader is gone. And we have seen not only in Islamic history, but we have seen this pattern repeat itself in the history of the world, in nation after nation after nation. All nations who took their central authority from one ruler, from one charismatic strong ruler, what happened to the people of Alexander after he died? What happened to the Romans after Julius Caesar? I mean, you can take any number of what happened to the Mongols after Genghis Khan and one generation. So the point is that if you take your central authority from one ruler, it is bound to fail. There is no way it can succeed. So therefore, what does succeed, however, is a matrix structure, is a decentralized authority, which is not human dependent, not individual dependent. It's process dependent. And that process takes its authority from a central place. So in Islam, again, the same thing happened, which is that we have a system where it is the ruler with a majlis or shura. And that is the meaning of the matrix structure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed this in the Quran, even when the ruler was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, make shura with your companions. Not because he needed their advice, but because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was putting in place a decentralized matrix structure for the ongoing benefit of the Ummah. And this is important because as a group and as people grow, there will be multiple needs to be taken care of. There will be multiple complex, there will be all kinds of complexities that have to be dealt with. There will be multiple demands from different places, all of which are very diverse and divergent. And unless you can accommodate them, people will break away. And how do you accommodate them? You accommodate them by giving them primacy in their area, but linking back to a central place. And that is the meaning of a matrix structure. And this is what Islam has shown us. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us in his, and directed to us to do in His kalam, which is to make mashwara. Making mashwara obviously means listening to opinions which are different from yours, listening to and accepting positions which are different from yours, because people come from different places. Yeah, they have different needs, they have different demands and different, foci in their lives, and we have to accommodate that. You cannot use one stick to beat everybody. You cannot say everyone has to fall in line. Doesn't work, it will fail. That structure has failed not once but multiple times. All we need to do is read history, but since we don't read, we want to remain in ignorance. Nobody can fault that. But if you read history, you will find that the structures will succeed And some of the finest examples of structures like this which succeed are our modern global corporations, which started to give it a, to put it a, to put a kind of date on it in the 17th century. That's when the corporatization of the world started. The reason why corporate entities today are the strongest, the most powerful, in terms of GDP, the top five are corporations, not countries. So if you look at the reason for that, it is because it is precisely because of this. Because they have decentralized structures, because they have matrix structures, they don't have one single boss who commands and everybody obeys. They have Majlis Ashura, which they call their boards, and they listen to each other and they work. Where that does not happen, as we have seen in different kinds of family businesses, they disintegrate. Why is it that family businesses disintegrate in 2-3 generations, whereas global corporations carry on for hundreds of years? Because of decentralized structures, because of matrix structures, because people are willing to listen to each other, and there is no one single authority which everyone is supposed to make sajda to. It doesn't work like that. Everyone, people are given importance. There is succession planning, and there is scope for difference of opinion to be expressed and to be appreciated and made and benefited from. And that is what Islam also teaches us. For those of us, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to learn and to enable us to benefit from this for the benefit of the Ummah. Today we are in a crisis situation globally. In this country, in the US, in Europe, practically everywhere. And we have to, it's very high time that we looked at ourselves and say, and come back to the Kitab and Sunnah. And coming back to the Kitab and Sunnah is not just saying this is halal, this is haram. We know that. What else does the Kitab and Sunnah? The Kitab and Sunnah says a lot more than simply halal and haram. But we seem to get stuck only on one thing. So what is halal, what is haram, we are not changing that. But we have to also see what else the Kitab and Sunnah says. This is like the like saying that there is Sharia in Saudi Arabia, which is nonsense. Because there is Sharia in Saudi Arabia only with regard to some parts of criminal law. Not for everything else. In Saudi Arabia, there is interest-based banking is permissible. Whereas Allah made it haram of the haram in the Kalam. So where is the Sharia? So we have to understand the Sharia in its entire context and ensure that we live our lives according to the whole religion, not into a piece of religion. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Allah said, do you take some things from the book and you do kufr with the others, you deny the other things? And Allah said, for such people, خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. In this world, life will be made difficult for you. And on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will be returned and turned towards ashaddil adab, towards the worst of the adab. We ask Allah to save us from that and to save us from being people who take a piece and leave another piece. The Islam came, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. Allah said, oh, you who believe, enter into the Islam, enter into Islam completely and totally. May Allah make us among those who enter into Islam fully and totally and therefore benefit from it. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.